This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle. Today is our recap episode of week 10 of the 2022-23 season, and here are today's topics. Arsenal win a thriller over Liverpool to go back top of the league table, winning 3-2. Manchester City continue to roll and Haaland scores again as City ease past Southampton 4-0. Manchester United win on the road at Everton with Cristiano Ronaldo scoring his 700th career club goal in the win. Christian Pulisic scores his first goal of Chelsea season, of his Chelsea season, beating Wolves 3-0. And Tottenham grab an important 3 points over a tough Brighton squad, winning 1-0. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Well, Musty, I think there's only one place we can start. The big game of the weekend was at the Emirates, Arsenal facing Liverpool. In a game, I think, was going to give us an indication of maybe what lies ahead for these two teams. Arsenal had beaten Spurs last week in the North London Derby, but this was another test against, you know, title winners a couple of seasons ago, the team that's challenged Manchester City most. For Liverpool, it's been a bit of an indifferent start to the season. A change of system midweek in the Champions League brought a change of look and a better performance. So lots to look forward to in the game. What's your takeaway? What's your big picture, Arsenal getting the 3-2 win against Liverpool?
Well, I mean, there's so much to take away, Rob, isn't there? So much. I mean, my biggest reaction is, what a great game. Mm. What a great game. Two teams playing some brilliant attacking football. And I think it's, as a bigger picture chat, maybe another time, the league right now is packed full of teams that are attacking. That's why we're seeing tons of goals. And not just the top sides, almost all teams, apart from Spurs, we'll get on to Spurs, but most teams, Robert, are trying to attack. And I just thought this was an example of a brilliant Premier League game that had everything, had the youth, had the speed, the pace, the technicality, the transitions, the turnovers, the counter-attacking speed of Arsenal. I mean, excellent performances. And I'll tell you what I'll go on straight away, Rob, in terms of getting a bit more detail. We can talk loads about Arsenal. We all talk loads about Arsenal and how well they're doing. At the end of the game, Rob, or towards the end of the game, there was a few melees, a few skirmishes. Mm. And I saw several players fighting like crazy for Arsenal and prepared to meet fire with fire any time it got a little nasty, because it did. Jordan Henderson was fired up. He was an angry man out there. But there were several players. I made a note of the ones that I thought off the top of my head. Jesus. Yeah. Incredible fight, yeah. Passion in all aspects. Granit Xhaka, you'd expect it. Mm. Thomas Partey, who I thought was outstanding. Yeah. Best game I've seen him play for Arsenal. Finally, getting the Thomas Partey that I expected actually quite a long time ago. Mm. Maybe injuries and everything else. That's Thomas Partey that I expected. I thought he was the best player on the pitch by some distance. Gabriel's another one that's fighting as well. So apart from the technical excellence, obviously the spirit, the passion. And it's obvious, Rob, I've said this many times about teams that get into good spots. It feels like they realise something special is happening at their football club, beating Spurs, and then this amazing game against Liverpool. I tell you, it gets them believing, as well as us and everybody else, that this team has come on incredibly since the start of last year. And it was a superb performance and a deserved victory.
I think the fight's a really important point, Rob, because I think in the past we've seen fight, but out-of-control fight, losing emotion fight, where it's cost you a red card, where it's not been in the right manner, where it's not been in the right way. This was control. This was felt the right amount of fight, that you're standing up, that you're not going to be pushed around, that you're younger players, but you're right. And it's a really important point that you make there, that You know, we've criticised Arsenal in the past. Remember the David Luiz days, the Granit Xhaka sending off, the Pepe, I think went to, you know, headbutt somebody once in golf, and we said, you know, you can't do that, going down to 10. Mm. But it was controlled, Rob. It was like people's arms were down the side, but they were standing up for what the shirt means and who they are and what they're doing. And in some respects, and I said to Rebecca after the game, these I can see some of what Liverpool used to have in this Arsenal team now. A bit of that fight, a bit of that intensity, the speed to counter-attack. You know, they both played in a similar system with a 4-2-3-1. You know, Tottenham's front line was every bit as exciting, if not more at times, than Arsenal's. Mm. The threat from Martinelli, Saka, Odegaard's clever ability and Jesus was every bit as good as what Liverpool have. And we talked about Liverpool being some of the best attackers in European football. So I just thought it was a day when they not only matched up, but they sort of overtook Liverpool in some areas of the pitch, which was a surprise to me, I have to say. Mm.
Yeah, you know, we sometimes get, well, I would say, mate, that, you know, in a Premier League season, there's often maybe a handful of special games. Mm. That felt like a special game. It's a memorable game. Yeah. I think it was Peter Drury in our commentary, Rob, said that's his favourite game of the season. And I think he's probably accurate there. And in terms of what it meant, the matchup, you know, they were kind of, I think both teams were had a couple of injured players, you know, in fullback positions or whatever, weren't normal. Other than that, it was kind of full strength. And I mean, they went back and forth. It was amazing, Rob, because, you know, of course, Martinelli scores a brilliant goal in the first minute. Yeah. And to be fair to Liverpool, I thought after conceding the goal, their football got really
well,
good.
Yeah. I mean, got possession was good.
Yeah, they reacted really well. They get themselves back in the game. Of course, a goal from Nunez, which is, again, just brilliant. Another example of great football. Second half was different, where Arsenal, you know, even when they were 2-1 up, were very much on the front foot, Rob. I thought they played really well in the second half. We'll get onto the referee calls in a second, but I thought Arsenal's second half really surprised me. They were leading 2-1, and yet they were much better with the ball, much, much more possession. I think it surprised Liverpool a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, I we often say this about teams, and that's why you guys in the studio talked about kind of roles reversed, where teams often struggle to handle Liverpool's speed, intensity. Well, it was the other way around, where Arsenal's kind of speed and intensity and quality on the ball, Liverpool struggled with, even though they did what we kind of suggested or hoped maybe from their point of view, Rob, that they did and played the two holding players.
Yeah.
Now, Henderson was pushed over to the right-hand side. Yeah. I thought Trent Alexander-Arnold, by the way, it sounds like he went off with an ankle injury.
Sounds like he's got an ankle injury. They're saying he got a scan, but yeah, that area was an area I think that Arsenal had looked to. Martinelli, his tail was up, was flying, Rob, looked like he wanted to get at him.
Yeah, I mean, it was, both goals came down that side. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Rob, you didn't sort of do it so much in the replays, but I thought he was really out of position where he allowed the ball to be slipped inside.
Inside him,
there was certainly space.
One of those, Rob, where I just felt he was in a bit of an awkward situation because he's got a runner outside him and the ball comes through. And I was kind of thinking, my feeling, because we did look at it and said, are we just piling on this because it's Trent? We kind of made the point that he was down that right side, but I just felt, I'm not sure he could have done that much about it. I totally get where you say his body position. You'd rather that ball go outside him and at least gives you a chance always at an angle than the ball come through the middle.
Yeah, it's a killer. It's a killer. The ball coming inside
it's a beautiful ball, by the way. Let's just remember as well, the weight and speed of the ball from Odegaard was perfect.
Yeah, let's just count a couple of of the incidents, Rob, and refereeing. I know Liverpool fans afterwards, you know.
Which were big decisions.
Yeah, I think where we're at with handball, I'll be honest, I've given up. I have literally given up. And I'm not joking.
Well, based on everything we've seen before, Rob, that one today, for me, has to be a penalty because it's hit his hand. His hand is away from his body. It's not that far, but it's away. The ball hits his hand. It doesn't hit his chest. Gabriel's trying to say his chest. I'm thinking that's a penalty.
Yeah. Well, this is where it's gone full circle for me, Rob, because, all right, so that, at the start of the season, g- given the new parameters, yeah. I'm like, that'd been really harsh. That's not really a handball. But then, of course, we see them given. So I've said it on a podcast. Yeah. All right, I've got to reprogram. Got to reprogram my brain. Mm. So that one, I'm like, oh yeah, that's one of those where I don't think actually it really is, but we've seen so many given that's a handball, and it wasn't given. So I give up. Honestly, I don't think, and this is so bad because we're talking VAR. We're talking this is the if there can't be consistencies when you have a video system to help the humans, because this is a human issue, I'm afraid. Like, and you know, I think we have to say that our Premier League officials are really struggling, I mean,
not to the level of the football,
it's not just
Rob.
The on-field guys.
You're talking about the quality of the football.
The
refereeing is not at the same level, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the penalty kick. That was the winning goal for Arsenal. Now, again, Rob, I would say it's a soft penalty. I thought there was a challenge. He's gone to kick. He's caught the back of Gabriel. But the moment there's contact, Rob, in the law that we've had to reprogram a brain, I'm saying he's going to give a penalty because there's contact. There was little contact, and Thiago's gone to clear the ball. They've both gone to clear the ball. He's gone to hook it to goal. Thiago's gone to clear it. There's a coming together. I thought it was soft. I know why it's given, and I get why it's given, and some will say, well, the contact, but it's very soft.
Soft for me. Soft for me. And again, wasn't there a comment from the Premier League referee saying this season, you know, a foul had to be a foul. They were going to try and raise the bar a little bit on those. Well, they haven't. I mean, I suppose, it's annoying because, you know, Thiago is entitled to try and win the ball.
It's almost like you can't make a challenge, because if you make a challenge and make a contact, he's going to point to the spot, mate.
It's any contact now, Rob, inside that box, is a penalty. Yeah. And I hate that because, number one, it's incredibly unfair on defenders. Yeah. And number two, you're going to get attacking players, which we've seen, that any time there's a brush or a flick, they're going to go down. And that's what you're this can of worms that you're opening now because of that. So I get it from Liverpool's side of things. Another day, those two decisions could have gone their way. But you know what, Rob? Like, people on social media are saying, you know, what about the referee ruining the game? I'm done with it. Like, this is it, I'm afraid, fans of all the teams. You're going to get some good, you're going to get some bad. West Ham United got one today.
Yeah,
when
they
didn't get
one, didn't
get one that big game.
Gamaca,
they got. So sadly, when we used to say about refereeing in football in our time, the decisions kind of even themselves out. We're saying that even now when there's video technology, that over the course of a season. So what's the point of the technology? So I'm sort of getting a bit like done with it all, to be honest, mate, because I don't want to keep talking about it. But so when things like happen today, then sorry, Liverpool fans, but that's what we're seeing in our league with our officials. And I don't want to hammer them, but that's what we're getting. And that's what you got today. You got the rough end of the stick this time. You might benefit in other times. But I want to end it right there, Rob, on that. But it doesn't take anything away.
No,
Arsenal deserve to win.
Yeah.
Second half, we're excellent. I think the expected goals was way higher than Liverpool's was. They
nearly
deserved
three,
it.
Liverpool,
they earned it.
Liverpool,
and they
nearly won. Let me steer you, my friend, to two players in the game whose influence was a huge contrast. Playing down the same side of the pitch, actually. I want you to talk to me about Gabriel Martinelli. You talk to me about him. He's your underappreciated player of the week.
Yeah, he's my underappreciated. Oh, sorry, I just lost that bit from you then. Yeah, he's my underappreciated performer for this weekend. And, you know, people know about Gabriel Martinelli, Rob. Mm. What I'm saying is his performance and his form of late is elevating him to not just a good young player that's coming through, that is a player that's an incredible asset and is one of the most dangerous players in the squad. That's where he goes from. That's why I'm saying underappreciated. Mm. He's getting, and it is now, way better than what we might expect him to be at this point with his age. Yeah. And I think the pace, the heart. He's got a big heart.
Yeah.
Always running. I mean, he's one of the fittest guys out there. And he's bringing goals to it now. The quality that he's got, he is elevated himself, Rob. And that's why I'm bringing him out this weekend, because that's high level.
Yeah.
That's special level. And you bring in Saka on the other side, two young players have excelled, but this season, you know, last year it was more Saka's kind of breakout season. This time it's the left side with Gabriel Martinelli. I thought he was outstanding, and he is a special, special talent.
It's got to be some Brazil team when he's not involved, isn't it? Or can't quite get in the squad. He's playing that well. He was a threat every time he got the ball today. He scored a goal, made one for Saka. And as you say, I thought gave Trent all kind of problems. And I almost get the sense he likes playing against Trent. I think he did it this time last year. He gave him another tough time. So down that same side of the pitch, Rob, in contrast, and we touched on it on the podcast before, and we don't have to go majorly in depth, but what's happened to Mo Salah, my friend? I think he had one shot in the game that wasn't on target. I think he doesn't do his fullbacks particularly any favour because he doesn't do any kind of tracking back or security for his fullbacks. We're in a position where today I thought he was Liverpool's worst forward. And, you know, Diaz looks lively. Nunez is trying and getting his Liverpool career going. Jota gives you something in terms of his movement. Bobby Firmino comes on and scores. The game's at 2-2 and Mo Salah's taken off the football pitch, Rob. How does that happen to one of the league's best scorers, Liverpool's biggest goal threat, who looks a shadow of himself this season? And critically, right now, you have to say, probably doesn't deserve to start in the team.
It's amazing, Rob, isn't it? I mean, football's amazing. And this situation with Mo Salah, we did mention this on the last pod, Rob, when I talked about the desire, the greed, the hunger to score is not evident right now. Now, whether that's a result of confidence lacking a little bit, I don't know. That, of course, the contract will be brought up. Yeah. I'll be honest, Rob, I think I said before that, you know, this isn't the sort of guy that he's super fit. You know, he's not gonna fall away a little bit given the new contract. But that's what we've seen at the moment. Now, it's hard to get to the bottom of it in terms of he's signed a mega, mega deal. Maybe he feels this is it, that he's got his dream contract and he takes his... And I'll say it again now because it always pops into my mind. An old manager said to me, 5% less effort in a game equals 50% less performance. Basically saying you can't drop it off. And maybe Mo Salah has dropped off his effort. 5-10%. His effectiveness for the team now has dropped way down. And it's got to be frustration for Jurgen Klopp, Rob. He's trying to get his team back together again. He needs his star players to step forward. I thought, you know, a lot of this game, Rob, Liverpool played well.
They
still moved the ball well. Luis Diaz, which is another worry for them.
He's got an injury. He's another one in for a scan tomorrow, Rob, on ankle and knee. So that doesn't sound great to be a big loss for
him. I mean, did you see the Jurgen Klopp words afterwards? I know in the show today we had games coming up.
Yeah, we had games.
I did look at a couple of interviews.
We didn't get to hear the interviews. What was he saying?
Well, first off, he's as down as we've ever seen him in his 7 years.
It's the worst start he's ever seen. I mean, they're 10th in the Premier League, Rob, at the moment, with 10 points.
Yeah, he's as down as I've ever seen him. But he sort of said, basically saying, you know, like, we're not going to win the league title this year, but there's other competitions that we're in. Now, the problem with that is that I wonder where the motivation sits with his team, that they're not really, and his manager's admitted they're not really in a title race. Does that mean, Rob, which I think it could do, is that the effort drops of all the players now because they're not going for the... And you've got to worry about the top four. Liverpool got to be in the top four. And that would worry me that message is, the league's kind of gone a little bit. We'll focus on other things. They got a job on to finish in the top four this season, haven't they?
Absolutely. 14 points difference between them and Arsenal. Face Manchester City at home next week at Sunday while we'll be in Philadelphia at the Fan Fest. So that's going to be an interesting one, Rob. Yeah, I mean, a great day for Arsenal. And again, I was just saying to Rebecca off air, it's like, and I know people have talked about the development of this team. I think people are starting for the first time, starting to think about what the future could look like with Arteta. And we had a little bit of room about what some of the things that are going to have to happen going forward. But I think for the first time we can start thinking about the future and successful future when, you know, Arsenal have actually talked about the past and Wenger in the invincible days, you know, many years ago now, 2004, the last time they won a title. You sense that there's something starting to grow. But, Rob, we're 9 games in, it's 24 points, there's still a lot of football to go. And there's some disappointments coming down the road for Arsenal at some level, at some place. how they get over them is going to tell us how, where they're going to finish.
Rob, can I just add, one thing before we move on? Just I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
So Gabriel Jesus. Now, it's impossible from our pictures to know whether he was knocked out in that incident where he was. Yeah. It looked like he was. He was still on the ground.
He got caught with
players were having to pick him up and try and roll him over.
Yeah.
Like now, I know that the protocols say something like if there's a concussion or suspected concussion, then you're out of the game and
you have to go
protocols.
To the doctor. You have
got
to
rest
up. There's a protocol, isn't there, that the doctor has to look at. It's not the player's decision or the physio. An independent doctor has to go through a concussion protocol, which didn't happen, by the way, Rob.
So. Well, I can only assume that he wasn't unconscious and that he was kind of kidding on a little bit. I don't know, mate.
I'm not sure if he kid on in those situations.
Well, what are you saying?
Play flat. So I'm saying he could have been knocked, or certainly his head was not robbed. When players roll a teammate on their side, that's serious. That's because you're slightly concerned with what's going on.
So how the heck, if we agree then that it was a likely concussion, how the heck has he played on?
Well, because as ever, and we talked about in the studio as we're watching the game, the protocol is not enforced by the Premier. He goes to the side. He talked to the fourth official, the linesman. If you remember the pictures, he talked to the linesman. Linesman was talking to him. Then he said no, as if the linesman was saying you'll have to go. And he said to his physio something. And then the next minute, he ran back on the pitch.
But there's no other talk about it, Rob. That's why I said maybe he was kidding on a little bit. He's kind of.
But
I don't know.
What if he had?
You'll never know.
Yeah, if I had a slight concussion, Rob, but he then says I'm okay to play on, then that's what.
That's unacceptable.
And that, exactly what I'm saying. And that's unacceptable at this level. He was allowed to make a decision. The physio was allowed to put him back on. Yeah. And Arsenal, for all that they've done brilliantly today, might have to look at those situations. We've seen some horrible scenes in the NFL recently of what can go on and how it can affect people. And the Premier League has to be better. The Premier League has so many good things. It has to be better, Rob. That we shouldn't even be debating this.
Yeah.
It's a really good point.
Well, again, made. I was astonished. I was astonished, mate.
So we'll see if there's any follow-on from there as Arsenal take the 3 points and move.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Let's move on to the Etihad. Manchester City facing a Southampton team that we're hearing Ralph Hasenhüttl was under all kinds of pressures. That these talk that he may lose his job. I think going to City in some respect possibly helped him on the day because you lose to City, most people are expected to. City got off to the usual start, attacking. Goal didn't come too early. I think it was 20 minutes on the clock. João Cancelo. From the left-back position, gets a beautiful goal with his left foot. Phil Foden goes and gets a second before half-time. Game's pretty much over. It's a contest. Mahrez gets a third. And then he comes onto the score sheet again, Erling Haaland. Another one-touch finish, another cross, right position, finishes again. 15 Premier League goals, 20 in all competitions. Pretty routine day for City as they head into the Champions League.
This what's happening all the time, mate. Winning games in the Premier League is very routine. And I think we're going to see the same type of goals. I talked about the crosses for Haaland, but I think these little first-time sweeps, if you like, where he just sweeps it with his right foot or his left foot, I mean, it's pretty stunning. And another one, he went through early on, Rob, wasn't it? And it amazed everybody that he only hit the post and didn't score.
Those
one-time finishes from those along the ground crosses that City are famous for. Let's be honest about it. Pep's had them doing this for years and years and years and years. And now they've got a striker that's got a tremendous nous sense where the ball's going to get pulled back to or rolled across. And he's ready, as you described on the show, Rob, with his body shape, he's ready to hit it first time. A goalkeeper struggle with that. So another beautiful strike. I mean, he's like, if he's a golfer, Rob, he'd be a brilliant ball striker. He contacts the ball lovely, doesn't he?
I mean, flies off his foot, doesn't he?
Flies with real pace
off his foot.
He does fly off his foot.
I'm going to turn to a man there, my friend. My underappreciated player of the week is going to come from Manchester City, and it's probably not somebody you might expect. João Cancelo, my friend, is a left or right fullback, I'll say, who can totally run the game from that position when he comes into the inverted position. He's created a brilliant relationship with Phil Foden down the left-hand side, or Grealish at times on the left-hand side of the pitch, becoming so threatening for Manchester City. He scores a goal. He makes a goal for Haaland. He's involved in the goal for Mahrez. He can play right or left back. At times, people think, well, you can get at him, but he never seems to get that much exposed because he's such a clever, intelligent footballer. He's not a star maker in name the best player at Manchester City. I don't think he'd be named in your top five. But is as important, technically as good as any midfield player in the country, along the Kevin De Bruyne lines of seeing things and ability in his feet. And looks like the kind of guy you'd want in your football club because he just gets on and does his job. And I just thought, when I was going through the highlights, I was doing the Manchester City game, and it was just like, everything good about City seems to be involved in. Mm. And he's somebody who doesn't particularly get mentioned or get any attention. I just thought, he's, you know, in a City team of stars, of great players, he's somebody a little bit underappreciated for me.
Maybe he is, Rob, in general. I think we've appreciated him. And I don't know, I think he probably is in their top five. And again, this is. I know you're saying
if you were asking people
in
a pub, name your top five Man City players, I don't think João Cancelo would be in there.
Yeah. No, he probably wouldn't. But he would be for me.
Yeah, it would be for me. Because they look at different things or see. But I think, you know, your Haaland, your De Bruyne's, your Foden's, your Diaz, your goalkeeper. I think, you know, there's all these.
Bernardo Silva.
But, I just thought he deserves a mention. And whichever side of the pitch he plays, however big the game, he can influence a game from a fullback position, which is a real skill and quality to be that deep, to be, you know, not in the central areas of the pitch all the time, but the way that he can, you know, he's not particularly quick, he doesn't look particularly strong, but he's got a beautiful feel for the ball and great creative flair. Just wanted to give him a little mention in the team of stars that he's one that's shining.
No, it's a good shout. He's an incredible footballer, and I mean, you go through that whole team, Rob, and they've got blimmin' incredible footballers everywhere, really, and it's kind of crazy how they've seemed to be so much better. But again, like, because we've broken them down for so long, for so many years, we have the added excitement of Erling Haaland, but it's routine. There isn't a lot of stories around this team because they're so good. They're so grooved. And they got a striker now that's amazed everybody with how he started and the numbers. But they're in such control and dominant in this league and in games that, I mean, it's going to be, you can't see anybody unless they have a ton of injuries, which absolutely is possible.
Yeah, the World Cup.
You can't see anybody over a longer period of time be able to live with the way that they're winning games so easy at the moment.
33 goals, mate, in 9 games already, I mean, and more to come. You believe they face Liverpool at Anfield next week. That's going to be a really interesting game. Let's move it to Goodison. Yeah. Another interesting one. The late game on Sunday, we just finished. Everton 1, Manchester United 2. Everton going ahead through a lovely Alex Iwobi goal. Iwobi's one of them that, you know, on another day, probably underappreciated performance. I don't know if he's had that title, but certainly one of the most consistent players for Everton this season, wherever he's played. It was an interesting game. Rob Casemiro got his first Premier League start. Rashford and Martial started the game. Martial had to come off. Ronaldo came on. You know what the story is going to be. Antony scores 3 goals in his first 3 Manchester United appearances. The first player to do that for the football club. And I thought saw another side to him. I thought his work off the ball was better. His positional play was better. And he's a real threat with his goals and his speed of feet. I thought this wasn't a classic game, was it? You know, the conditions being one down, but I thought this was quite an important win for United, and I think they can take something from that. 1-0 down at Everton, you know, difficult circumstances, not great weather. I thought they got about the game and got about their work well, and the quality in the top end of the pitch kind of meant that they were always if they took care of business, were going to win the game.
You know what's interesting, Rob? I think, remember on the after the Manchester derby?
Yeah.
I think at the end of our chat on that game, I think I said, you know what? I don't feel it's going to be that damaging because they went with the gung-ho, proactive, expansive football against City. They got destroyed. Mm. But that's what they're going to do. We saw it again today, Rob, and I think you're starting to see flashes or moments that what Eric Ten Hag's looking for.
Yeah.
He's looking for dominance with the ball, real control, tremendous width. When you looked at United today, Rob, there was great width from the team when they and depth, like they stretched Everton too much, and that's something I want to talk about Everton with a little bit. But that's what Ten Hag wants, and you're seeing it. They really went there, Rob, and it's not easy to go to Everton, particularly when they're in decent form.
Yeah.
They've got a strong midfield now. They've got a strong centre-back partnership.
Best defensive
we've talked about a few
record
times
in
now.
The league, yeah.
Yeah, and go there and really like get on the front foot and play a lot of football and create a lot of opportunities. So that's what he's trying to do. If there will be games where maybe that's going to backfire because they're going to be a little open.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought Anthony, he's a funny, because sometimes he has periods where he doesn't do much.
Yeah.
And then he pops up in big moments. He's got good composure, Robert, around the box, isn't it, when he comes to shoot.
Yeah, he's clever,
he's got good accuracy. Yeah. He takes a shot. I think he's looking. He's had a good
22
start.
Years of age still, as well, Rob. By
let's
the way,
see.
There's more to come, isn't there? He's young, and I think he solved a problem for United on the right hand side of the pitch. It wasn't productive enough. We talked about all the other big teams' goals from wide areas. You know. As much as Sancho's been in and been a bit unlucky and a bit fits and starts, this guy's coming and shown from a wide position he can score goals. You know, if Rashford settles into that left-hand side all of a sudden, Bruno, Sancho, and, you know, you get the front, right? All of a sudden, that's a pretty tasty front line.
I thought Casemiro had a funny game. Like I think you said it on the broadcast. Like, he kind of started off, I mean, the pace of the Premier League is absolutely quicker. We know that for a fact, really, now with lots of years of experience of seeing this stuff. But I thought he'd come on to a game.
Yeah.
I thought
the more the game went on, the better he got, didn't he?
He's a wonderful... He did. The longer the game went on. And the goal for Ronaldo's goal, I mean, he wins that ball and he slots it through straight away. Yeah. That's the quality that he's got. And that combination is a... You know, that former Real Madrid connection I thought was impressive. Ronaldo goes through and takes his goal. Yeah. By the way, am I reading this wrong, that there was so much media talk when Ronaldo played the other night, like, Ronaldo's finished. And all this kind of like, you know, Ronaldo's this and he's not this anymore. And this
he
is
looked in pretty sad good to shape
see.
To me today, by the way. He looked in pretty good shape to me.
Well, I know, but there was a lot of that, Rob, wasn't there?
Well, after that's the media for you and, you know, what's the next story, you know, write him off, you know, he's leaving the football club, oh, he's no value to United, blah, 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 blah. He's still important, Rob. I've got to tell you, he brings an energy to the front line that gets everybody else playing at a different level. He pops a ball in and he goes, Rob, and he makes you get on your toes and play it back, and all the game changes because he's around. His hunger, you talk about Mo Salah, this guy's hunger to get goals is infectious.
Oh, no.
You know, he's disappointed when it doesn't come to him. He lets his teammates know when they're not at it. You know, he's trying to make things himself. I thought he nicked balls off Garner today when Garner was in possession. I thought he knitted the game well for midfield players. I thought his all-round game was excellent. And it was really interesting, Rob, that we had an initial Bruno Fernandes on at the end of the show and did a two-way with him and asked him about Ronaldo. And he was just saying, you know, how important he is, how much confidence he gives to the team, how important he is in training. And you know, the goals are just phenomenal and they all kind of want to see him succeed. And you don't get there's any sense that there's any kind of ill feeling in the dressing room around him. And you know, Bruno's somebody who probably could feel his nose is going to be a bit out with Ronaldo there. But I don't think there's any of that at all.
No, even today, Rob, I think I read some stories saying that Inter Miami were going to come in for him in January. There'll be still talk about him in January leaving the football club. But I think there will be times that he should play and have a run in the team, Ronaldo. Mm. And there's times where I think he needs a little stint out of it.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the best scenario for Ronaldo. If you have him as a number nine, Robert, week in, week out, I think it's
going to wear him.
It's tough to be as sharp and as effective as by rotation. And between Martial and Rashford and Ronaldo, you know, this season, maybe that's the way they'll do it. I think that would be the best way to get the best. But whether he's going to be happy with that, you know, not playing every single week, I don't know. We'll see. January's going to come around real quick, by the way, after the World Cup, in terms of that transfer window open up again. So the talk will continue. But fair play. I mean, sweeps it in with his left foot. Lovely goal. Good performance. Man United.
Yeah,
that's good
I
to go
so,
there.
Yeah.
Just a quick line on Everton, Rob, before I forget it. Were they a little... I thought the game was a bit open for Everton today.
Yeah.
A little bit open. Now, again, a lot of that is United's passing and stretching Everton, but Everton could have been more compact. Do you think they're a little confident?
Run they were on and the defensive thing and all that stuff going into the game.
They basically went toe-to-toe. They went toe-to-toe.
They did. Well, if they did, they didn't have any real power punch up front. The goal came through Iwobi. Mope couldn't really get in the game, little support to him.
No.
Gray and Gordon couldn't influence the game in the wide areas, often, you know, had to track back. And I was a little disappointed. I thought, having got the good start from Everton, I was expecting then, you know, we'll see a little bit more and a bit more resilience to, you know, in the form they've been in. So I think that was a bit disappointing for Frank today. As you say, I thought United dominated the ball and in the end were clear. You know, the Rashford handball, there's another one, Rob, where you know he's running past, it flicks up, does it maybe catch his arm or not, and that one's disallowed, and you know we've seen the Liverpool ones it's another one that's a little bit crazy, but
to be fair, I thought that one, I mean, I'm not sure that we all agree with that law.
Accidentally touching his hand,
if the ball hits your hand,
then it's going to...
And then you score, it's disallowed. So
West Ham get away with one that's similar and Manchester United don't. But in the end, it was just lack of goals that made it more. But I think there was a clear winner today at United. Good day for Ten Hag and United on the road.
Could I just... one last player I want to just mention real quick. And I think we've had him as underappreciated before, Rob. Amadou Onana, the 21-year-old Belgian playing in the middle of the park. I just checked on his international stuff. He started the last game for Belgium. I think, you know, for Belgium. I think you're going to see him now in the World Cup. I think he's going to become a very prominent footballer on the world stage. You know, Everton have got a brilliant bit of business there.
Yeah.
You see a couple of times where he outpowered Casemiro, Robin, in terms of physicality. I think he's...
Good in the air.
He is a... Yeah. Big, physical, good on the ball, gets forward.
Yeah.
He's going to be a really important player for Everton and possibly for Belgium in the World Cup as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One to look out for.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Let's move it to Stamford Bridge, my friend. Chelsea versus Wolverhampton Wanderers. Wolves, Bruno has got sacked last week, so managerless at the moment. Talk about new manager coming in very soon. But they faced Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea... just got a little bit of form. Good win last weekend in the league, and then a 3-0 win against Milan in the Champions League set them up, and got another win, clean sheet for Chelsea yesterday, Rob. And yeah, I think there's a bit of a sense that Graham Potter's starting to have an effect, and they're starting to look like... I saw one of the stats that actually backed up your point in terms of Chelsea's attacking. I think they've had 54 shots in the three games. Had 44 of those shots have been inside the 18-yard box. So absolutely loads more production in the area that's most important of the pitch, the opposition's penalty box.
Yeah, it's. I think it's night and day. I honestly do. You know, it might look similar in certain spots, and of course we've got the same players running around.
Yeah.
Maybe the average fan doesn't notice it. I'm telling everybody that they've got such a stronger attacking intent with different players getting into the box, different systems, different personnel. Graham Potter is utilising, and we're seeing the value of his squad. Different players are playing in different spots. Broya comes on today in the game and scores a goal. Christian Pulisic plays that left wing back role that doesn't involve much back because it's kind of two systems.
Yeah.
I mean, in the game, I'm like, how are they playing? I mean, again,
it was almost a forward Cucurella at one point, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, he...
Yeah. It kind of is, Rob, I think. I think yeah. without the ball, it looks like a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Gallagher to the right.
Yeah.
Pulisic to the left.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jorginho and then Azpilicueta put, makes
it
a four.
Cheek, wasn't it?
But
yeah.
in possession... Mm. Loftus-Cheek in the middle with Jorginho.
Yeah. yeah.
But in possession... So that's why Pulisic has to stay wide. So
on
that's
left,
where it's
yeah.
the three yeah. and then the four and then the two. So it's two different systems in this game, by the way, and it changes every time yeah. with him. I just think that we said on the last pod, Rob, it keeps the players fresh.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The opponents don't know whether they're coming or going or what they're going to expect from Chelsea in any particular game. I really like what I'm seeing. And Gallagher trusted. Now, Pulisic's had a chance.
Yeah.
Broglie's been on a few times. Chalobah's, you know, the squad
cheek,
is starting
yeah, yeah.
to, he's utilising them. He's used Loftus-Cheek. So he's trusting them and they're repaying his trust with really good performances. And the team has got much more hunger to attack and to get in the box and shoot and to score. And we're seeing it. And he's doing a blimmin' already. I think he's made a real difference to the team and obviously now to the results.
I'll say as well, he looks comfortable on that sideline, mate. You know, I think it's a big club. You
yeah.
know, people are saying how he's going to handle players and that. It looks to me like you know, he's getting a good response from players. You say he's playing a different system. I think it going in, Rob, and looking like everybody's got an even chance to impress helps. I think young players think they can show this boss that they can do well in staying the team. I think Tuchel had almost got some of his favourites to some people he wasn't really
Definitely.
Trusting. Christian
Definitely.
Pulisic.
You're either in or you're out.
Interesting one with the goalkeeper, yeah. Rob. I don't know if we touched on this before. Is Kepa now number one? I think me and Tim
yeah,
had this
like
debate.
It.
And
I, mean,
and I
like
said,
it.
For me, he's number one yeah. now. And Tim was a bit like, well, I'm not
yeah,
quite sure.
But
I think he's number one till he isn't number one.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree with that. I mean, he's played the last few, hasn't he?
Yeah, like three games since he's been in charge. And he played the
yeah.
game before under Tuchel. And then he stayed in and he's continued
yeah.
to stay in. And Mendy's on the bench.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if he wanted to, he could say to Mendy, well, he's my number one, in you go. And I think
it's fair play, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah,
I
think those things are quite,
him,
I think to the dressing room are quite, and I always say this because when I've had new managers now, if they come in and make it and you go, that's fair enough, he's playing well, there's no favourites, kind of puts you in a good place. Like, listen, if I play well, I'll keep my shirt and there'll be no favourites. And I think that's a good message that Potter's gone into the dressing room and given.
There's a bit of sense out there, Rob, that English commentators don't are very quick to get on the back of Christian Pulisic. You were in the studio, mate. I was on social media and I was watching the game and I'm kind of checking social media and there's, you know, I obviously the fans here in America want him playing for their World Cup chances and they want him as sharp as possible. He got his opportunity, played on the left-hand side. I thought he looked a little rusty in the first 20 minutes. I thought he improved as the game wore on.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do any more than score a goal and he assisted the last time he came into the game. Do you think, just back on that, is there there's not bias on anybody in the English side of things, managers, clubs, teams, commentators against this guy, is there?
I don't think so, and I'm a little surprised here. I think to a certain degree, American players go there with almost like representing the country and some of these people, and he's almost like representing MLS or American players. But I think he's past that. I think he's shown enough in games that he can influence games. I think he's got to show the consistency that's required to be at a club as big as Chelsea. That's the challenge that's laid down to
him. That's been the problem.
That's been the problem. But that's the challenge on. That's the level he's got to get to. But it's a bit like Jesse Marsh going in at Leeds and people saying, well, you know, the American coach and the Ted Lasso. I think people will take you on your merits. And Jesse Marsh has earned a respect that I don't think people think or talk about him in that manner now because they've seen what he does, how he acts, how he coaches, how he talks, and I think he's gained respect. So if there is, I think it's the minority of British media that continue to be stereotypical of nationalities and certain things, and I wouldn't worry too much. I think generally people, Rob, my sense is generally people want Christian Pulisic in England to do well. I think there's a feel for him to do well, and we'd love more American players coming into our league and showing that they can play at that level as well. Brendan Aaronson, I saw it at Leeds today. He's an outstanding player, mate.
Yeah.
Young, outstanding player.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fact is, to be a key starting player for Chelsea Football Club is incredible.
High tariff, mate.
It's very, very, very high tariff. And the move he made there was a big move. Mm. You've got to be some player to get a move to Chelsea Football Club, and then to be a starting or a key starting player is incredibly difficult. And he's battling again now to try and persuade his managers, different manager this time, that he should be a starting player. But you can't do any more than coming on and doing the business. I think what's happened before is that he's had a little run. He goes a little quiet. There's somebody else to come in and have a go. So that's ultimately the challenge of being at a club like Chelsea. But I mean, you can't do any more than that. Come on and improve as the game go on. Texas got really well, really clever bit of football between him and Mason Mount. The assist was there. Yeah. Real clever little thing to finish. So well done, Pulisic. There's going to be rotations. They play Milan, I think, away in Italy, Rob, on Tuesday. So another game coming up for them. Yeah. I'm just enjoying Chelsea right now, mate. And I know when there's 10 o'clock games and we sort of like try and figure out, well, who's going to watch which game. Yeah, you know, yeah. We want to get a good eye on all the big games. I'm really keen to watch Chelsea because of Potter's differences and how he's affecting the team and how some of these younger players now, I mean, Broglie is a great example of, go on, give him a chance. Gallagher played well, didn't get his goal, but he's getting continued opportunities. And I think you make a good point. I think Thomas Tuchel sort of kind of had his favourite team. And in most of the games, no, like, I want this team right now. And there might be a couple of tweaks and changes along the way, but he's very set. I think with Potter, I think it's going to be, as you saw in Brighton, people are going to play in different spots in different games. So, good victory. And also, I mean, it's nice to see Diego Costa. Costa got a lovely
reception, didn't he,
from the Chelsea.
Yeah. He had a slow walk round as he came off the pitch clapping the fans in Diego Costa style. Yeah, it was great scenes. Wolves obviously better once they get a manager in and can get things bedded down and get going again to get up the table. Let's take it to final game, the big games of the weekend at the Amex. Brighton 0, Spurs 1. Spurs get the win courtesy of, I thought, a beautifully crafted goal from Harry Kane. Off across from Heung-min Son, those two combining again. Very emotional day for all the Spurs fans, Antonio Conte, and all the players, with the fitness coach, Giampiero, who was sadly passed away this week. And we saw the scenes after the game. We saw Kane pointed to the heavens in respect for the fitness coach, the relationship he had. And a very emotional Harry Kane after the game, Rob, as he did an interview. It's very rarely we see those raw emotion of players coming out. So I think it showed what the day meant and what the victory meant to Spurs. But it was a Spurs victory in the Conte style of Spurs victories. They get the goal. At times the game was pretty even. I thought Brighton had some decent looks. Struggled for finishing, which, you know, Danny Welbeck does such a great job for the team, but clinical in front of goal, I'm afraid he is not. But Roberto De Zerbi looks like he's gone into Brighton and looks like a good fit to me, Rob, in terms of what they are, what they're doing. Talks well about what Potter's done, wants to add his own little tweaks. And at times the game was in the balance, and in the end, one goal was enough for Spurs. The clean sheet, you know, is exactly maybe what Conte wants.
It's funny, Rob, because I think the main takeaway from this game for me was like, this is so stereotypical of both teams. I mean, it's exactly what you might expect to happen going into this game.
Yeah.
Spurs, not silky, not slick, not really dominant possession, but get their goal. Brighton, really good football.
Yeah.
Fiddly around the penalty box. Didn't get shots off. Couldn't score a goal. It played out exactly how you might expect it would. I mean, the midfield was a little different. So Basuma came in.
Yeah, he changed
Basuma,
it, didn't
when he
he
plays in the three, plays,
there,
plays
yeah.
a holding.
Mm.
And it didn't really... I mean, I think we said on the last pod, Rob, that maybe we wanted to see that, see Kane and Son together.
Yeah.
Thing is, I didn't think... I thought Basuma had a tough
game.
Yeah,
he didn't...
You know, he hadn't played much, and I don't think he played particularly well. And I think when you think of Bentancur, Højbjerg, I thought he played really well, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg.
Højbjerg played well.
And he Basuma, aren't they incredibly similar, Rob, for a midfield three? If you
it depend what Basuma does, though, Rob? Can't Basuma be a little bit more box to box? Is he a little bit more athletic than Højbjerg?
He played a six.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I think he played a six.
But I think he
could do that.
Which surprised me that he played the six, because I thought he might be the one to have a little bit of license and go and join in and run between and whatever. And it didn't really happen, which surprised me. I'll tell you what else, Rob, I don't know how you saw the game and how much you watched, but I, one of the things I noticed because of the three in the middle, that I thought the fullbacks go higher earlier, and Sessegnon and Doherty were really high up on the pitch in terms of almost like wingers rather than wing backs, and obviously had to do their defending. But I just thought the quality in both of those, Rob, was lacking. But in that system, yeah, when you play that way and play that high, it was lacking. And I tell you what came back to me, and it was as I was watching the Newcastle game. And you know what I thought to myself? Kieran Trippier will be the perfect player for Spurs in that system. Can defend when he has to, can get forwards, got a brilliant cross and a good footballer and can play in the last third. Doherty, not good enough. Royale was suspended, not good enough. That in those wide positions, are key positions. Sessegnon still hasn't quite found his form. Perisic has come in and looked better in possession, but I think as it is a bit of a worry when he's playing against quick people going the other way.
The
I still think those are two problem positions for Tottenham with this system.
Particularly, Rob, particularly when you consider other players in other spots. Yeah. With those three midfield players who played in this game that are kind of similar, you need special wing-backs then.
Yeah.
If you ain't going to have that real creative technicality in the middle, then you need to have it in the wider positions, which they haven't really got. I mean Perisic, we thought was going to bring that, and he has brought that. He's got quite a few assists, actually, three or four assists. But the speed of the league keeps catching everybody, catching us out, Rob, because it's so intense, it's so quick. The players that we've seen many times before in other leagues come into the league and it's like, oh yeah, look, they're struggling a little bit with the pace of it. Now, again, maybe he adjusts to that. But I mean, I thought they looked better again when they went the old system when Richarlison came on. It went back to like two in the midfield, three up front. I thought that looked better again. So, yeah, I think you're right. If those wing backs were better, like for in their end product as well, because you have to defend with Antonio Conte, then that would make a difference. And they're just okay. And that might be one reason why they're struggling for control and for quality. And you talked about Cancelo. We've talked about Alexander-Arnold's quality from fullback. You know, fullback quality fullbacks don't have to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe some work still to do.
They won again.
Got the job done, got the point, which was important. It's an emotional day, and you could see what it meant to the players, the fans, and certainly Antonio Conte getting the win.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Let's just round up some of the results. Things going particularly well at Newcastle, my friend. St. James's Park, 5-1 winners against Brentford, which, you know, we thought it would be a tough game. I think there was 6 goals in this game last season, this fixture, but it was 3-3 then, but it was 5-1 Newcastle. And I think Rebecca asked me about this game and what I said with Eddie Howe. And I said, Eddie seems to have got this great balance of getting more quality out of those hard-working guys like your Almirons and Murphys and that, and getting more work out his quality players like the Bruno Guimaraeses and people who are putting their foot in and working hard, and you know, St. Maximin and Isak when he's been in the team. And the biggest thing I was listening to a few Newcastle fans last night is there's joy back in the football club, Rob. There's an enjoyment back in what's going on at the football club. And I hear other things about behind the scenes, you know, the women's team's been brought in, the training ground's been looked at, the academy's been addressed, there's things going off the pitch as well as on it that are making this football club something to start to be envious of. And it won't be long, Rob, before there's a big seven. Newcastle are going to soon we're going to be talking about a big seven rather than a big six.
They're doing it very carefully there, Rob, isn't it? Because I agree.
Yeah.
But I did expect some more bigger names to come in earlier, which hasn't happened yet. I mean, gradually, and fair play, some additions. Bruno Guimaraes, I think, is a brilliant midfield player. Was probably the first of those as a bigger name, a younger player for the future. So I think it's going to come, but I think they have to be very careful with financial fair play. Yeah, they're respecting that, which is good. But you're right. I mean, I know that area very well, and all the football fans in the Northeast, they couldn't love their clubs anymore. And I think it's been so many years that Newcastle United have felt like their ownership has let them down. And now they've got investment, of course, from overseas investment, and they're starting to see the fruits of that and the football of that. And Eddie Howe is the main man that takes a ton of the credit. You know, we know they've got some hirings behind the scenes now, sporting director, recruitment people in place. It's gonna keep going forward. Ashworth and stuff. So it's they're doing it slowly, carefully, and I, you know, we gotta love what he's doing, Eddie Howe. That's still not easy to bring the forward, bring that team performances forward, Rob, given that there's been improvement in recruitment, but not a ton of it. Yeah. Really well done, carefully well done. And you know, they love more than anything else entertaining football. If you give the Geordies attacking, quick, slick, creative football, they love it. They love it. Even if they don't win all the trophies in the world, they love attacking flair of football. Eddie Howe's given it to them, and it's going really well. Fair play.
Let's move to Vitality. Bournemouth 2, Leicester 1. Gary O'Neill continues to do an incredible job since he's taken over. 2 wins, 3 draws in the 5 games he's taken over. 1-0 down to Leicester. And again, Rob, I don't know if you saw this game. There should have been a penalty, I thought, for Bournemouth. Fredericks got tripped over by Evans, gets a yellow card when I don't know how it's not given, as, especially when we see the penalties that we've seen like today. There was contact, he goes down. Anyway, yeah. Bournemouth come back. Philip Billing gets an equaliser and Ryan Christie gets a winner. And the shots in the stand, Rob, of Bill Foley, who's apparently the Vegas Lights owner, the NHL team, who's going to buy the football club. And bizarrely, last night, I got a text from a mate in LA who's had some dealings with Bill Foley, who tells me, great businessman, good guy, will put money in, will want to be successful, and, you know, look ahead for good things from Bournemouth. So all of a sudden, things could be looking up, Rob. And it's really interesting, isn't it? Because if a new boss comes in with, you know, the right kind of money, it's an American consortium that we know knows sports franchises, you know, Do they feel they have to go and get a big name in there? Because Gary O'Neill at the moment is just doing the job very nicely, Rob. They sit 8th in the Premier League, 12 points, without forcing the job on him. Wouldn't you just let things continue as they are?
100%. He has to take the job, Gary O'Neill, now. You do not, given their situation, their squad, the, you know, the talent in the squad, when things are going well, you lap it up and you grab it and you go with it. It would be the craziest thing now, in my opinion, to make massive changes when Gary O'Neill, he's unbeaten. Two wins, three draws out of the five games
since the 9-0 loss to Liverpool.
I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't touch it. Now, whether they can keep him, they might decide, let's not do anything. Let's wait and wait. Interim, you know, extended. Then, okay. But it will be tempting to say, Gary, like, well done. Yours till, you know, have an 18-month contract. He's got a little bit of insurance there for himself. And you crack on. But again, anything, I wouldn't do anything. Because this is 3 wins and they've got to get another 6 or 7 to stay in the Premier League. Don't mess around with it. Keep it the same. Don't make any changes because this is remarkable. Bournemouth stay up, that's pretty remarkable. And Bournemouth, in terms of a club for an American owner, I mean, it's a small club. I mean,
it's a great part of England, though, isn't it? It's a great location. Maybe
it's a lovely part of England.
Increase the stadium, grow the football club. You grow the football club.
How can you grow it?
You can grow it by marketing better, getting some connections to the US, you know, making, you know, there's plenty of people in Vegas who might want to go and spend a weekend in Bournemouth and go and watch a football game as well. Listen, this is why he's a good businessman, but
make the stadium bigger.
Yeah, make the stadium bigger. Take it to 25,000, Rob, double your capacity. All of a sudden, you know, Premier League games, if Liverpool are in town, if Chelsea in town, people will come and fill your stadium. So. Lots to look forward to for Bournemouth. Really pleased with the start they have. Really pleased for Gary O'Neill, one of the good guys in football who certainly doesn't get the headlines. Good win for West Ham as well, Rob. London same. Good week for West Ham. Actually, winners 2-0 against Wolves midweek, winning Europa League, and then a 3-1 win against Fulham today. There was a bit of fortune, as we said, in the Scamacca goal that we both feel came off his hand, and then he did cleverly put it over the goalkeeper. I don't know how VAR doesn't see it hitting his hand. We were told unofficially the guidance from VAR was that they didn't see any pictures that were conclusive that it hit his hand. take, make of that what you will, my friend. Make of that what you will.
No, I don't know. I just don't.
They apparently didn't see the shot that we saw that saw the hand, is basically what they're saying, which is astounding that VAR isn't getting all the best looks at, in an incident before it's giving a goal or not. And I felt a little bit for Marco Silva because, you know, his team in the game is no Mitrovic in the team, and he's done such a good job, and all of a sudden to go behind again that goal, and then Antonio gets another, which makes it 3-1 and pretty much kills the game. But good win, good week for David Moyes in Premier League and in Europe. And Scamacca's goal, got Robert, I think it's a good thing. He's one of them now, I kind of feel like, maybe with Ronaldo, let's give him a little run now. Let's see him. You might with your eyes think, okay, 5-6 games, he needs a little dip out. But I kind of feel like we need to give him a run now, let him try and get used to the Premier League.
Well, he's scoring. And it looks like a natural kind of scorer. Enjoys scoring, works hard. I think it's similar with some of the other players. Paqueta, by the way, is starting to adjust. And he's starting to...
Did you see the bit of skill in the week that was going around? Did you see the viral where he's jumped off the air and sort of back-heel controlled the ball? And apparently all the players on the pitch were like, I couldn't quite believe it. I don't know if you saw it. He's going to be one that West Ham fans are going to enjoy, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's going to get better and better and better and better and better because he's getting used to it now. And it's the same with all the players. And David Moyes said it. You know, all the players coming in, we've had a little struggle to get them all gelled. They've picked up results as we expect them to do now. And I expect them to go on and on and on. But yeah, you're right. Scamacca's got to have a little run now. And I think he is. He is having a little run. He's starting the last few games, hasn't he, in different competitions.
Yeah, he's dipped him in and out a little bit with Antonio, hasn't he? But I kind of feel like now he needs to start and have that responsibility.
Yeah, give him a run.
Let's go to Crystal Palace. Palace played Leeds, and I thought it was a big game for both these teams. Palace have only struggled to get the wins despite having good performances. Leeds, a little bit similar, played quite well, but not probably got the results that they would like. Leeds had both Rodrigo and Bamford in the starting lineup, so a little bit of goal threat. Crystal Palace was pretty much Anderson came back in the team. Slup played at left back, which is a bit of a change, and then similar kind of progressive midfield, Decore, Eze, Alisi next to him, Ayew, Edward, and Zaha up front. So, you know, I thought that you know, it's a very positive setup and lineup for Patrick Vieira. He changed the shape a little bit, Robert, half time, which was quite key. He went a bit more 4-4-2, so he put Alisi one side, Zaha the other, with Eze and Decore first, brought Milivojevic on actually, who actually dominated the game from the middle of the field. And they looked better and had a bit more threat that way, but managed the game better. Eze scored a beautiful goal to get the winner. And I thought it was an important win for Patrick when one or two were just saying, oh, you know, on the edge of the bottom three, things not quite going well. It was a really important 3 points for Palace at Selhurst.
Yeah, but Palace's start, schedule-wise, so difficult. Yeah, yeah. They played all the big boys, didn't they?
Fine. Really difficult start. Chelsea, Liverpool. They got some draw. City.
I think all of them, yeah. So that was a tough start. And it goes back to the point Rob made at the very start of this podcast that this is now more of the norm of open, attacking, entertaining football. It's like it's being trusted more, Rob, that you play one holder and two out-and-out attacking midfield players. Palace are doing it. Yeah. You know, Leeds have that approach for Jesse March where they're on the front foot. They attack, attack, attack. I mean, it's making for fun football and a great Premier League. The most open and attacking... I mean, I think than we've seen for a long time, Rob. Yeah. You know, in terms of God,
you only have to think of Palace from really Roy Hodgson to Patrick Vieira.
Well, yeah,
it's night and day, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, so that's happening throughout the league, and well done, Patrick Vieira, and well done, Palace, are making those adjustments. And Eze, you know, another example of a winger or a real attacking playmaking type that can play a little bit deeper and scores a wonderful goal. I mean, he almost got my underappreciated. I'm not sure whether we've had him before. Aberce Eze is a special talent, and I think you're going to see
that. On the edge of England squad not that long ago, before he got that bad injury. He was talking about him being in the England squad. Yeah. So, yeah, plenty of talent, Lise, Eze, Zaha, and the likes of Ayew continue to do well. And Edward, two goals in his last two Premier League games now. Good for him if they could get strikers regularly scoring. That's going to be a big thing for Crystal Palace.
He's got to be the one, Rob, isn't he? Is he? He's got to be the number nine.
You feel so. Every time you look at him, he looks. Yeah, and he looks like he's got a little bit more box craft than Mateta, and he's going to be around the places where the ball's going to be, which I think is important.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Not a good day for Leeds. A little bit of pressure maybe on Jesse Marsh. Starting to come. They need to put a few wins together. Despite playing well, and I thought started the game particularly well, fell off a little badly. And again, Bamford, and you know, he's got to get Bamford fit and scoring goals if they're going to get up the league.
Yeah, he's just starting, Rob. You know, he's got Rodgers back, Bamford's back, Ayling's back. I mean, he's got most of his players back now, so he should be able to kick on and get some results. So, yeah, it's a tough league. It's a tough league, and he'll find out, of course, now that even, you know, all the games in the Premier League now, when you think about it, Rob, I mean, Leicester City, we didn't really mention Brendan, by the way, in that game. You know, brilliant 1 week, and then they're second bottom of the league table now. I mean, Leicester City, second bottom with the talent they've got. So, incredible league, and it's, you know, it's producing really good games every week, which we're loving right now.
Absolutely. Incredible week, incredible football, a long weekend of football, but so enjoyable. As Arsenal beat Liverpool in the weekend's biggest game, they're going to stay top of the table. Spurs, Chelsea and both Manchester teams get victories to establish a top five. And Eddie Howe's Newcastle make it a big six. We'll be back on Wednesday, that's October the 12th, when we'll break down all the games from Match Round 4 of the Champions League. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Mustard, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. We'll see you all in Philadelphia next week. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.